William Greer did an in-depth analysis of the human body and its mineral properties. The New York Times published the report, and Greer claimed the average body contains 5 pounds of calcium, 9 ounces of potassium, 1 pound of phosphorus, 6 ounces of sodium, 6 ounces of sulfur, and 1 ounce of magnesium. There are traces of iron and iodine and copper. And the total value of all of these minerals? No, it's about $8. $8. Makes you feel good, doesn't it? You're worth about $8. Yeah. The passage today is about the church as the body of Christ. And the Apostle Paul uses this incredible image, really, of the body as a symbol for the church. Our bodies are strange, wonderful, complex, awesome, awkward things. Our bodies are capable of amazing physical feats. I went to the doctor this week, and he said, well, you got your treatment last week, and so your immune system is basically gone. See, what I get is a treatment that shuts down my immune system because my immune system attacks itself. And so in order to compensate, they have to give me this treatment, and it shuts it down. Inevitably, guess what happens the next week? I get sick because I don't have an immune system for a little while, and it just goes south. And so I went to my doctor, and he said, well, it's your own fault. If you hadn't gone to the doctor last week, you wouldn't be at the doctor this week. And so I got to give you something to take care of what we caused last week and fix what's going on this week. Isn't that how it always works? Yeah. Your body's a strange thing. And it's amazing how we have to live it, basically how we live it all, based on all of the different possibilities for problems that we could have. And our bodies can do amazing things, but also they're sluggish and they can be weak and creaky. Anybody here got a weak and creaky body? You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. 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 I was talking to one of my buddies, Dwight, about the tennis game, and you know, Dwight's getting a little older, and he says, when my opponent hits the ball to me, my brain immediately barks out a command for me to rush to the net, swing as hard as I can, and hit the ball to the back corner. And then my body says, who, me? Oh, my. That's our usual reaction, I think, isn't it, when we think about our bodies. Most of us don't think our bodies as being all that special or strong. And you know what I think happens sometimes in churches? We get that same kind of complex. We don't think of the body of Christ as being strong or healthy. And we think of all the ways that we can be doing ministry and reaching people and touching lives with God's love. And we say, who, me? And you say, okay, Pastor, do you want us to go out into the whole world and spread the good news of Jesus Christ, to feed the hungry and clothe the poor and help the prisoner and take care of the widows and the orphans and heal physical diseases and cast out demons and be a place of worship for joy for all people? Us? And throughout the Bible, we get these word pictures of the church, what the church is supposed to be doing and how we're supposed to be doing it, and it becomes a mission for how we can accomplish God's work in the world. 1 Corinthians 3, the church is compared to a field and to a building. In Ephesians 5, the church is compared to a bride, the bride of Christ. And in each of these comparisons, like this or like that. But then Paul uses this passage in Corinthians, and Paul doesn't say like. He says the church is the body of Christ. It's not like the body of Christ. It is the body of Christ. The body is one piece. There aren't separate parts. It's one piece. And Paul gives us a blueprint for how he would like the church to function as a body functions. The first characteristic of a healthy body is unity. You know, all the parts have to work together, right? All the parts have to work together for one purpose. It's amazing how the body works that way. When I was first diagnosed with psoriatic arthritis, I went to the doctor, and I had psoriasis. And my doctor said a funny thing. He asked a strange question. He said, "Have you ever popped an Achilles tendon?" Are you kidding me? What's that got to do with my psoriasis? He said, "Well, it's all connected." I said, "It's all connected." He said, and I said, "As a matter of fact, I did about 6 months ago." And then he said, "Let me hold your hand." And he squeezed my hand a little bit. He said, "Does that hurt?" I say, "Yes." And then he looked at me and he said, "You have psoriatic arthritis." "A popped Achilles tendon told you that?" I said. He said, "It's all connected. The Achilles becomes weak with psoriatic arthritis. And generally, you pop it before you realize that this is what you've got. And it's an indicator." Isn't that amazing? It all fits together. When one part needs help, the rest try to compensate, right? It all fits together. Verse 12 says, "Just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ." It sounds kind of crazy, the language. It goes together. But there's unity. They're all fitting together. Everybody is important. And all parts are important. Throughout the New Testament, we get this constant warning. Don't get distracted by arguments or by dissension. And the apostle says, come on, can't we all get along together? Can't we just recognize that every single one of us has value? Every single one of us is important? And that the body working together as a unified body of Christ can make a world of difference. And that's what we want. What are you arguing about? You know the focus is to bring people to Christ. Come on. Focus on what you're supposed to be focused on and focus on it together. The apostles had only one mind, the mind of Christ, to guide everything they did. They had only one purpose in life, and that was to spread the good news of Christ. Funny how you, when you identify the greatest priority and the number one issue that you need to be focusing on, that everybody can join in on that. And we can agree with one another. And those other issues not quite as important anymore. Until the church has one mind, one purpose, we get distracted by the trivial things. The best way to destroy the image of Christ is to keep arguing. Chad Sharon, a doctor and former basketball player at Vanderbilt University, talked about teamwork in medicine. And he described how a body is supposed to work in unity. Various cells of the human body, he said, muscle cells, blood cells, organ cells, bone cells, all other cells are designed to work together to enhance the health of the entire body. But occasionally, a cell can begin growing and functioning out of sync. It begins growing for its own purposes, functioning out of sync with the other cells. No longer follows the same brilliant blueprint that creates the body. Just as mutagens cause cancer in the human body, people who behave like this can have the same kind of effect on the body of Christ. If we as the body of Christ want to share one mind, one purpose, if nothing else in life mattered so much as sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, we could transform this community and this world, because that's what we're supposed to be about. And so we focus our efforts on doing just that. What's our mission statement? To make disciples for Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Yeah. What's our vision statement? To know Christ personally, to grow in Christ intimately, and to show Christ passionately. And those words are important: to know Christ, to grow in our relationship with Christ, and to become witnesses in the world, to show Christ's love to others. That's the vision. Imagine what our church would look like if we lived according to our mission and our vision. Imagine what a difference we could make in this community, in the world for that matter, if we focused our attention on that. The second characteristic of a healthy body of Christ is equality. You know, a healthy body of Christ values all members equally. Every single one of us has values. It's like I was telling the kids, you have as much value as anybody else in the church. And we share it equally. The value of each individual is important. Listen to the verses. Those parts of the body that seem to be weaker or indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. But God's combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it. So there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. I get to stand up here before you each Sunday and preach. And as the pastor of this church, I've got that honor. But my importance to the church is no greater than anybody else's. Every single person here has value. And I don't believe that my value is any more important than anybody else's. Every last one of us, from the youngest to the oldest, is equally valuable and important in the body of Christ. Have you ever felt like you're just not good enough to be valuable? That you can't make a difference in the world? Max Lucado writes that a society that doesn't believe in God sees no inherent value in human beings. Interesting, isn't it? What makes us different from a rock or an old sock? If you have no inherent inborn value, then you have to create your own, right? We tend to value people either from their appearance or their performance. If you're good looking or smart or athletic, then you can earn a lot of money and you're valuable. And if you don't fit those criteria, then in the society that we live in, for the most part, you lose your value because you don't fit in those criteria. You're just taking up space. But check out Jesus' value system. He loved the outcast, the poor, the handicapped, the unclean, the sinner. Why? Because Jesus' love doesn't depend on what we do for him. In the eyes of the King, you have value simply because you are. You are a child of God, and you have value simply because you are. Been working with my father-in-law. He's got Parkinson's. And my father-in-law is a doer. His last name is Palma, and there's a saying around the house, if you want it done the Palma way, you'll get it done right, because that's just how he does it. He has his own way of doing things. Anybody know anybody else like that? They have their own way of doing things, and it's his way, and it's the Palma way. Well, guess what? He can't anymore. And so he told me the other day, I have no value. I can't do what I used to do. He had his bottle of medicine, and he handed it to me, and he said, can you open this for me? I can't open it. I have no value, he said. I said, yes, you do. Your value to God is not in what you accomplish or do. Your value to God is because you're His child, and God values you for that reason. And it's the same with the church. We tend to put value on people because they do this or they do that or they've accomplished this or they've accomplished that. Well, what about those who can't and who are limited? So they have no value? Yes, they do. Somebody asked me the other day, why do you keep going to see Betty Brown? Does she even know who you are? No, she doesn't. I go to see Betty Brown because she's a child loved by God. And I remind her of that when I see her. It's not because of what you can or cannot do that brings value to you. You are valuable because you are God's child. And you can make a difference in God's kingdom. And you're one of us. Because we're all in this together. Right? The final characteristic of a healthy body is empathy. You know, we got to share joy with one another and sorrow with one another. 12:26 says, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part's honored, every part rejoices with it. It's a little hard for us to understand. We tend to value this rugged individualism. I'm a self-made man or woman. I don't ask for help. I can do it all by myself. I did it my way, that kind of thing, right? And empathy, that quality of sharing our lives with each other, even in the most heartfelt moments, it's kind of uncomfortable for some of us. So we present this nice facade to one another in church. No matter what's going on in our lives, no matter what emotions are tearing us apart, we come to church with smiles on our face and every hair in place, and we try to put on the facade to make everybody think that we're doing just fine. I'm living the victorious life. Look at me. I'm okay, you're okay. But we're not okay. None of us are okay. If there's one thing I've learned, is there isn't any of us who have it all together. I thought I did once, and then I looked and I saw it was falling completely apart. And so we don't all have it together. None of us have it together, right? Well, Joe's got it together. Do you have it together? Joe says, I've got it together. Pastor David Redding puts it in his prayer, a little religion and worse than none is worse than none. And he writes, deliver us from this vicious circle of going around crying out, I'm fine, how are you? So many of us are stuck in this knothole for years that everybody knows the joys aren't coming. Are you caught in the circle and the cycle? One of the great things about church is we're not meant to bear our burdens alone. We've got each other. When I was ordained as a minister, I was a good friend with a Catholic priest, one of my best friends, and he gave me a Bible, and in it, he wrote this passage from Romans. And he said, if you can do this, you will fulfill the love of Christ. It was this passage, weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. If you can fulfill this, you will fulfill the calling of the love of Christ. Weep with those who weep, rejoice with those who rejoice. That's what we do in church. We should be doing. We help each other out in difficult times. We celebrate and rejoice in the happy times. We're there for each other. It's one of the joys that I have as being a pastor, to be present with you in your sadness and to lift you up in prayer and to be present with you in your gladness during the baptisms and during the dedications of children and seeing new people come to relationship in Christ. That's what we want. Pastor Alan Wright tells of visiting a man named Lester. He was an elderly man. He suffered from cancer and often was in pain, and he would say, "Oh me, oh me." He happened by Lester's room one day, and Lester's son was visiting, and he was appalled. He saw Lester's son leaning down in his ear, and he was saying, "Oh me, oh me." And he thought he was mocking his dad. And the son was quick to explain the actions. You see, before coming to the hospital, Lester had lived with his son and the daughter-in-law and his two-year-old grandson, Wesley. And Wesley loved to help his grandfather. And one of the things that he would do is when his grandfather would get up and walk, he would go, "Oh me, oh me." And the grandson would get up next to him and go, "Oh me, oh me." And it would bring a smile to his face. He was trying to understand. Trying to share his pain a little bit, you know. Isn't that what we're supposed to do? Just share the pain with each other. And we all have it. Whether you know it or not, there are people on all sides of you whose hearts are breaking right now. People who are confused, angry, lost, scared, broken. And you know what? You need them and they need you. That's what the church is supposed to be, isn't it? You don't go it alone. Before Christ ascended to heaven, he left with this awesome responsibility to convince the world that God is alive and that God loves every person and God's available right here and right now, and that Christ's Holy Spirit is going to fill our world and inspire us to do great things. But it's in his body that the unbelievable things are happening, and that's the church. And I challenge you this week to reflect on the question, what would my church be if every church member here was like me? What kind of church would this be? What would this church be if every member here was like me? Would we do better or worse? Would this church be making a difference or not a difference at all? It's the body of Christ that makes it go. And Jesus is calling us to be that body. Let's do it together, shall we? Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you, God, for the bride of Christ, your church. We thank you that we are the body of Christ and that we are your hands and your feet and making a difference in the world. Lead us now, Lord, from this place into this world to weep with those who weep, to rejoice with those who rejoice, and to be the loving spirit of Christ in the world today. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.